Good to see everybody again. Like I said, I'm glad everybody's here today. We got a sweet little girl that's going to get baptized today, her act of obedience to when she accepted Christ. That being said, that's the most important decision you can ever make in your life. The only decision that should be made, for sure. We're not preaching on that today, but it just so happens we're doing a baptism. And we'll do it. I'm going to get right to it because, you know, I don't want to hold y'all up and stuff. Get y'all out of here by 12:30 or so. So let me get started. Woo. That didn't go over so well. I'm not being serious, matter of fact. Well, I say that. Let me shut up. Let me just read. Turn to Mark chapter 9. It's a little bit lengthy, not too bad. I'm going to read it, but to get the full picture of what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to read it and give you a few seconds to get over to Mark chapter 9. We're going to read 14 through 29. Then we're going to break it down, do a baptism. We have a good day. Have a good day. Y'all there? All right. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Jesus speaks, says, "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by spirit and that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him into the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." Jesus says again, "You unbelieving," catch that word, unbelieving, "you unbelieving generation." Jesus replied, "How long shall I stay with you, and how long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" The man said, "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Jesus says, "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for the one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Hang on to that verse. When Jesus saw a crowd running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus has gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Then he replied, "This kind can come only out by prayer, fasting." Dear Father, we take these few moments, these few verses that you gave us this morning, Lord. Just open our minds, our hearts, and let us receive the message you want us to get out of it, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now talk about your most important decision you can make is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that being said, when you do, you're not exempt from issues or problems. We're going to talk about one of those today. And if you've been around long enough, you know, I have talked about fear. We talked about uncertainty. We talked about anxiety. All these real life issues. Okay, if you're in here, you're a Christian. Or if you're in here, you're not. You're not exempt from none of those issues, right? We call it life. I like to call it stuff. My Oakhurst terminology. Stuff happens to us. Things go, you know, we go through things. Today, we're going to focus on one that I think affects almost everybody here at some point in time or another. Doubt. What is doubt? What are we doubting? What do we do about it? If you doubt, does that mean you don't believe in Jesus? That means just think about that. We can answer all these questions today, but I want you to focus on, we read that whole story, and Jesus, I want you to notice that Jesus helped the man that had his doubts, his unbelief. He even admitted to it. Verse 24, he says, immediately the boy's father explained, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. In that transition reading up to verse 24, he was like, well, I can ask him and see what he does. He had that little bit of doubt. Let me ask you about your prayer life. Let's just focus on that a minute. Do you pray with all sincerity and knowing that he's going to take care of you? Or do you have that little bit of doubt in the back of your mind saying, well, Lord, if you will you do this? Now, he is going to do his will, okay? And he might not answer your prayers the way you think he ought to answer your prayers. And so we get in the way of a lot of stuff, right? The timing or anything could be on, it's all on him, right? He can do it when he's ready. And he knows what's, believe it or not, I know you're hard to believe, but he knows what's best for us. It might not seem like it at the time. We're thinking, Lord, have you ever questioned, like, Lord, why? A lot of people don't want to admit to that. Sometimes we do. Why, Lord? And I want to tell you, when we get deeper into it, that's okay to a certain extent. It's the approach you do it. He knows we don't understand everything. He created us. He knows everything about us. He knows we're going to have some doubt. He knows we're going to have some uncertainty. But put all that stuff aside, how are you going to respond to him? That's what he's really looking at. That's what he wants. Where are you with your relationship with me? Are you going to stick with me? Even though it seems like it don't make any sense, we'll see. Doubt does not disqualify us from God's grace. It's all about God's grace. It can drive us deeper dependence on his truth, his promises, and his presence. You know, sometimes things just happen that God allows to bring you closer to him. Amen. To realize that you need him more than you think you need him. And we all probably been in a situation or a stage in our life, you know, where everything's going great and we're doing good and, you know, we kind of drift away. We don't pray as much or, you know, I got it under control. And then you hit a wall. Or something happens, right? We need to understand that having questions does not mean we lost our faith. We can bring our doubts honestly to Jesus and learn to trust him even when we do not understand it. When those doubts, those thoughts enter your mind, are you going to acknowledge them and bring them to Christ like he wants you to do? He already knows. He's just saying, how are you going to react, respond? Take it to him and give it to him. Say, Lord, I'm doubting. I'm struggling. My prayer life ain't like it should be right now. My walk with you is drifting away. Whatever situation may be. Because guess what? It happens. Okay? Take it to Christ. Now we get into the sermon. You know, ready? That was just, yeah. I'm trying to just play. All right. Doubt is real. We need to recognize that doubt is real. Doubt is something believers can experience, have experienced, or are experiencing right now. Doubt is not only an unbeliever's struggle, it's a believer's struggle. I said that earlier. You got two classes of people. You got the saved and you got the unsaved. The believer, the unbeliever. Doubt is still a human issue, no matter what side you on. Even faithful Christians can experience seasons of uncertainty. We can. just a personal deal about myself. Almost every Sunday, leading up to every Sunday, I got doubts that I can deliver the message the way I should be delivering it, the way he wants me to do it. Yeah. But you know how I end up doing it? It ain't me, I promise you. Y'all know me, most of y'all. And so the only way it's possible is through Christ. Amen. And I'm not bragging, but I have to. I recognize, I have to rely on God to let me do this. I have to. I can't do it. There's no way I can do it. We can believe in God and still have questions. Doubt often comes during difficult circumstances. You know, like I said, you know, everything's, you know, y'all know, I call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. Sometimes you're going through the good times, the bad times, and sometimes they just get downright ugly. I don't know. That's my Clint Eastwood analogy, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we go through all three of those. It's different stages in our life. What about when prayers seem to be unanswered? We kind of hit on that earlier. When tragedy happens. When God seems to be silent. When what we believe does not seem to match what we see. You know, all that can filter in a little bit of doubt, a little bit of uncertainty. But Mark 9, what we read, gives us an honest picture of doubt. The Father says, I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. He did not pretend to have perfect faith. I got news for you. Nobody in here does. You might think you do, but you don't. But what did the guy do? He took it to Christ. He said, help me with my unbelief. That's what we need to do. When it hits, I don't care how bad, if it's just a little bit of doubt or a whole lot of doubt, you right then immediately need to take it to Christ. Say, God, please get this out of my head. Help me out. The question is not whether we will experience doubt. We will. The question is what we do about it when it comes. I'll just give you a couple examples. It happens to a lot of people. Faithful people have struggled with it. Let me give you some Bible examples. And we're just going to, you can go back. I got scripture for it, but we're not going to go. You take my word for it. It's in there. Now I can give you all the scripture later. You want to go back and look. Abraham had questions. Abraham struggled to understand how God's promise could be fulfilled. He was going to be a father of a nation. And he was 90 years old. 99. He was old. And physically speaking, humanly speaking, it was impossible. God, how can I be a father of a nation at this age, this time in my life? And he probably threw me in, my wife's old too. But he didn't want her to hear that. Yeah. He was smart enough not to put it that way. Moses questioned his ability. Moses repeatedly questioned whether God could use him, feeling inadequate and produced doubt. If you're following the Lord and you do what he wants you to do, you're going to feel inadequate. I ain't good enough. I can't do that. Not me. That's that doubt filtering. You need to get that Satan working on you. You need to, like I said, if you go through Jesus, you can do it.
It won't be stuff you're used to doing.
No, yeah. It don't expect it's just going to flow and be something, you know. No, it's not. Like Charlie said, it will not. You're going to be uncomfortable. At least. Remember, Moses couldn't talk. He stuttered a lot. Lord, I can't do this. He killed a man in Egypt before God called him to lead his people out. He had a lot of baggage. Elijah reached a point where he felt alone and overwhelmed. Emotional exhaustion came and affected our faith. We kind of hit on that last week. Remember Jezebel? Hear that name Jezebel? She was hot on his trail to kill him. He had doubt. What about in the book of John where Thomas, his own disciple, wanted evidence before he believed after the resurrection? He followed this man for 3 years doing miracles and signs and wonders and still had doubt. Questions do not automatically make someone an enemy of God. The Father in Mark 9 brought his doubt to Jesus. He did not run away from Jesus. He ran towards him. God is not surprised about our questions. He already knows what's happening. Now here's the danger of doubt, though. When it drifts us away from God, that's when it becomes a problem. Doubt itself is not a problem, spiritually speaking, as long as you address it with God. Take care of it. Doubt itself is not unnecessary or sinful. The danger comes when doubt causes us to turn away from God rather than towards Him. Amen. Don't let that doubt, just a little bit of doubt, if you don't take care of it, is going to grow and mushroom to the point where then you're going to look back, what happened? What happened to my Christian walk? It just overtake you. Be careful with it. Doubt can paralyze our faith. Think about Peter. This is Osi's favorite character. Peter began walking on the water, but what happened? He became afraid. Doubt set in. He looked at the circumstances. He didn't look towards Jesus. Whatever you got going on, your stuff, circumstances, however you want to word it, whatever it is, I don't care what it is. I mean, I care about you. But what I mean is, I don't care how bad it seems. And so don't let the circumstances control you. Give that circumstance to God. Look towards Him. Let Him take care of it. He's big enough to handle it, I promise. What we focus on can determine how we respond. You can focus on your circumstance or you can focus on Christ. Doubt can harden our hearts. A continuing refusal to trust God can lead the heart away from Him. As those of y'all remember Andy Griffith's show? Remember Born in Five? What did he say? Nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. That's what you got to do. You have to take stuff and nip it in the bud. Take care of it right then. Give it to God. Here's another one that can happen. It can isolate us. You're starting to get into danger of water when you start to isolate yourself, separate yourself from friends, family, other Christians. James tells us in James chapter 1 about being double-minded. Instead of constantly going back and forth, we are called to trust God. Notice that. Don't say you should trust God. You're called. If you follow Christ, you say you follow Christ, you're called to trust Him. That's part of it. You have to trust Him no matter what's happening. And we got that, however you want to work, that wishy-washy stuff, back and forth. That doubt, you know, that first of all, that'll wear you out mentally. I struggled with it before. I ain't saying, look, you don't struggle with it, but you got to address it. Doubt can make us interpret doubt can make us interpret God through our circumstances. When the circumstances take over, this is when you may do this. God doesn't care. God isn't listening. God can't help me. Or God has forgotten me. Those are real life issues that can happen. The problem is, when those things set in a lot of times, then we start doubting our faith with Christ, and we don't want to share it with nobody because it makes us think we're inferior to the other ones, other Christians. We're not. Our circumstances do not determine God's character. The one constant in this whole, all this stuff we're talking about is God Himself, Jesus Christ. That's why we put emphasis on take it to Him. He can fix it. Don't allow what you don't understand to make you forget what you already know about God. Hang on to whatever that faith of, it don't take a lot of faith. Your faith should be growing as you get closer to God. But hang on and hang your hat on what you do have, what you do know. Mark 9 gives us one of the most honest prayers in Scripture. I believe, help me with my unbelief. The man was being honest. Jesus already knew that. But the man was being honest. We got to be honest with God. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to pretend it's not happening. It's not a problem. That's when we get in trouble. You know when we get in trouble the most is when we try to fix it. We ain't handy men like we think we are. The Father admitted His struggle. He did not pretend. God would rather have our honest struggle than our false confidence. Y'all catch that? He did. I got it highlighted on my notes there because that stuck with me. God rather have your honest struggle than your false confidence. Don't pretend and don't play church or wherever you want to go. Don't act like nothing's going on. Be humble. The Father recognized He needed help. He essentially said, "Jesus, I believe, but my faith is weak. Help me." Bring your questions to Jesus. The answer to doubt is not always immediate. That's what some more doubt may set in. But remember this. Sometimes the answer is just receiving God's presence. Don't focus on the solution as much as your presence with God. That time with Him. Prayer. Just focus on that and let it go from there. And keep coming to Jesus. Don't go home tonight and pray, "Lord, help me with this situation." Then that's it. He can fix it right then. But if He don't forget to go back again and pray for it. Keep going back. The Father in the story did not walk away because His faith was imperfect. He continued to seek Jesus. Faith does not mean having every question answered. That's another one. Faith means trusting the one who holds the answer. Trust Him, not the solution. Or here's another deal. What is the solution? Your solution, guys, might be totally different. He might have some other solution in mind. But focus, like I said, focus on Him. You don't have to have perfect faith. And I said it earlier, nobody in here has that. Come with the faith you have and ask Him to strengthen it. And here's another way to approach it too. God don't just let us wander around with all these problems. He gives us ways to take care of them, to fix them. First of all, come to Him, prayer. Also, He gives us resources. When's the last time you opened this up? Your Bible. It should be your Bible, your personal Bible. Not a Bible laying on the dining room table with all your ex-wives in them. That was a joke. You know, the little marriage thing. All right. Not to dust off your Bible and open it up. That's a good way to start. Read your Bible. God's Word is our anchor. 2 Timothy tells us, I'm not quoting the scripture, in 2 Timothy, when our emotions change, God's Word remains true. Just think about when you was younger, all those that's a little bit older, whatever situation you may have, it seemed like the end of the world. Then as you get older, you look back, come to find it wasn't nothing at all. Or it wasn't as big as it seemed at the time. Your emotions change. Things change. You mature. God's promises are our refuge. And He promised us to give us something strong to hold on to. God's presence, His peace. I am going to read this scripture. Isaiah 41:10. Listen to these words. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with righteousness, with my righteous right hand. That's His promise to us. He has us. He take care of us. He don't promise we won't never have troubles. He promises His presence in the troubles. Our hope is not based on ability to remain strong. Our hope is based on God's faithfulness. God may not remove the question immediately, but He gives us enough truth to keep trusting Him. So we talked about all that stuff. And so let me give you something what you need to do, what we need to do. Number one, keep praying. Don't forget, keep praying. Keep praying. Number two, keep reading God's Word. Number three, stay connected to God's people. Don't isolate yourself. Whatever you're going through, the odds are there's somebody that you know that's been through that, that you can relate with. Console each other. Talk to each other. Number four, remember God's faithfulness. Just think of your own testimony, your own self in the past, what God has come through for you. Think about what He's already done. Make a spiritual record of His faithfulness. Number five, keep obeying. Keep doing what He wants you to do. We talked about it all the time. We are all called for something with God, with Christ, whatever that may be. Whatever that looks like for you, I don't know. That's between you and God. But whatever it is, do it. That's what He tells you to do. Not maybe, do it. And let doubt drive you deeper, not further away. Deeper in Him. When things are bad, look at Him. Bring Him in. Bring Him closer. Let Him work through you. Doubt can become an invitation to seek God more deeply. And I close with this. When doubt comes, run to Jesus. You know, I've been beating that to death today. You may be asking, is God really there? You may be asking, does God really hear my prayers? Why did God allow this? You may be asking that. Why hasn't God answered me yet? Can God really forgive me? You'd be surprised how many people I talk to that think their past is so bad that God can't forgive them. That's a trick of the devil. I don't care what it is. The worst thing you can possibly think of, you can do. If you truly give it to Christ and turn it over to Him, He can fix it, take care of you. He wants you to do that. Why can I not understand what God is doing? Those are real questions that can come up. So bring your questions to Jesus. The Father did not say, I have a perfect faith. He said, I believe. Help mine unbelief. And Jesus met him there. You got any of those questions that we went over, and that's not all inclusive. There's probably some others. Whatever it is, meet Jesus with it. Meet Jesus. It's almost so simple to fix or to address that our little minds want to complicate it more. It's not. It's simple as bring it to Jesus. He's waiting. All He wants you to do is bring it to Him. Don't run from Jesus because you have questions. Run to Jesus with your questions. That's what I'm going to leave you with. Think about where you're at today. And your walk with Christ. If everything's good, keep praying that it's good. If you're going through a little something or another, or a big something or another, bring it to Jesus. Got the same answer. Got the same response. He may answer it different for different people. But it all starts at the foot of the cross with Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. Dear and Father, just thank you so much for this opportunity to hear your words, Lord. Just open our minds, our hearts, our struggles, whatever we may have. We will give it to you. Just thank you again for the many blessings you have done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Everybody stand. If you need Christ, today's the day to do it. You need to come talk to me. I'm right down here. Do it where you're standing at. That's fine too. You need to come to this altar and get rid of some stuff. Come get rid of it.